السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى. أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو، له الأسماء الحسنى، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صاحب المقام المعلى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده، هو اجتباكم وما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج، ملة أبيكم إبراهيم هو سماكم المسلمين. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, the month of Ramadan is literally on our doorstep. Continuing from what we mentioned in previous discourses in recent weeks, the time now is for change. And hence the topic for this afternoon. I want to share with you 7 ways that we can become better Muslims this Ramadan. 7 ways that we can become better Muslims. We should endeavor to become better Muslims at any stage in our lives, but Ramadan gives us an added opportunity, and there's greater emphasis for change during the season of change. So getting right into it, the scholars have written the first of these 7 things that we need to look at is what is called in Arabic ithar. In English, we refer to it as selflessness. We live in a world today where it's all about me, me, I. We've become very self-centered, we've become very individualistic. It's only about my preferences, my comfort, my desires, my interests. But if you want to become a good Muslim, you have to become selfless. Firstly, selfless in front of Allah, in that you give preference to what Allah loves over what you desire. The first aspect of selflessness is this: you have to train yourself. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's not something that's going to happen instantly. You have to train yourself that at every juncture in your life, you'll have desires, you'll have inclinations, you'll have preferences, but you will always, always give preference to what Allah loves over what you desire and what you incline towards. We need to embrace those actions which will bring us closer to Allah. Not because Allah needs us, but because we need Allah. When you are selfless in front of Allah, it means you realize, Allah doesn't meet me an iota. I need Allah in totality. Even to this extent, the scholars have written, if you're doing the work of deen, and I would say, most importantly for those who are doing the work of deen, you have to be selfless. Some scholars used to say, I consider myself an arrow to be shot in the path of Allah to benefit the deen of Islam. So shoot me in whichever direction you please, meaning use me in whichever way as long as it benefits the deen of Allah. Whether I get credit or not, whether my name is recognized or not, whether I am treated well or not in return is neither here nor there. Because I've sacrificed myself for the deen of Allah. I've made myself selfless. So this is the meaning of ithar. If you want to become a good Muslim, you have to be selfless in sacrificing your desires for that which is pleasing to Allah. You have to be selfless in doing for the deen of Allah. And each one of us are doing, and we ought to be doing for the deen of Allah in some way or the other. It's not only dedicated to those people who spend a lot of time going out in the path of Allah or in a khanka, or who are scholars and are doing the work of deen in a more formal and a more regular way. Every Muslim should consider himself a soldier for the deen of Allah, ready to be utilized for the benefit of deen in any way, whenever and however required. That is what is meant to be selfless. Because you know, in war what happens? The foot soldiers are the ones that become the biggest victims. They are the ones that lose their lives. But if you are a foot soldier in the army of Allah, figuratively speaking, not literally, Allah hasn't tested that in that way, alhamdulillah, yeah, then remember, inna Allah la yudi'u ajra al muhsinin. Others may not appreciate, but Allah always appreciates. Allah always appreciates. Still on ithar, selflessness, the first of seven things that will make us better Muslims, inshallah, is you need to give preference to others over yourself. This was a salient quality of Sahaba. It was a hallmark of the companions. Allah talks about it in Surah Al-Hashr. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They gave preference to others even though they themselves were in need. You know, if you're eating something that you really like, you know, something that you really list for, most of us sitting here, parents, you're driving into Lands, you list for an ice cream. And maybe you're buying a Cornetto because you want that chocolate bit at the bottom, right at the bottom. And now as you consume it, you come there and your kid says, Dad, can I have that bit? Can I have that bit? There isn't a father in the mother in the world who won't give it to them. Because you have that love. So you'll sacrifice what you were desirous of to fulfill the desire of your child, of your kid. Sahaba were ready to sacrifice their lives to make things easier for others. There's the famous narration of multiple Sahaba who were lying wounded on the battlefield. And somebody came with water. Water in your dying moments is a very important thing. And the one Sahabi says, no, give it to my brother, he's more injured. And the second one says, no, give it to the other, he's more in need. Until they came to the last, he had passed on. They went to the first, he had also passed on. Went to the second. Each one of those Sahaba, multiple, who were injured, did not take that last sip of water because they were giving preference to the next man. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Ibrahim bin Adham was a great sage of his age. And one day he was traveling at night and it was very windy and it was very cold and they were looking for shelter. And he was traveling with a great entourage of his murids and disciples. They found a dilapidated building and the door had been removed. So they took shelter in the building. It was a bit better than being outside, but the wind was still gushing through. Eventually they fell off to sleep. When they woke up at the time of Tahajjud, they realized, hey, it's pretty warm here. Yeah? It's pretty warm here. Yeah? How come the wind is still not coming through the doorway? When they looked up, Ibrahim bin Adham, the senior, the sheikh, the ustad, the teacher, he was standing in the doorway. The whole night he stood in the doorway to take the brunt of the wind on his own body so that his juniors, his students, his disciples could have a decent night's sleep. Today we can't give preference to the next man when it comes to a parking bay, when it comes to a queue in a shop, when it comes to noise levels, when it comes to kids and their petty altercations. You want to become a better Muslim? The first thing is ithar, become selfless in front of Allah, for the deen of Allah, and in your interaction with others. Give preference to the next man for the pleasure of Allah. The second quality of the seven to become a better Muslim is iqbal, to engage in actions wholeheartedly, to come forward to Allah wholeheartedly. Allah says in the Quran, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, that oh you who believe, meaning you are already Muslims, udkhulu fis silmi kaffa, come into deen in totality, completely, comprehensively. Don't cherry pick. You know, I'll do this, I won't do that. Or if you're doing something, don't do it half-heartedly. Do it fully. Let me say this. Sometimes our humility is misplaced. Do not be humble in wanting to become a better Muslim. Sometimes we see people who in terms of deen are on a higher level than us. They say, no, that's for the pious, it's not for me. Subhanallah. I think sometimes we don't realize what a grave sentence that is. Are you saying you don't want to become a better Muslim? Are you saying you don't want to become a better servant of Allah? Are you saying you don't want to become a better ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do not be humble. Do not curb your desire in wanting to become a better Muslim. Don't look at your weakness, look at the greatness of Allah. People worse than you became the saints of the age. It's in the hands of Allah. You just need to make a bit of effort, a little bit of initiative. You know, the scholars tell us on this point of iqbal, doing things wholeheartedly, basic things. How many of us, and I speak to myself firstly, how many of us make wudu wholeheartedly? With complete presence of mind, heart and body. It's become a ritual for us, right? I have to have wudu to make salah, so slan it. But how many of us actually sit there and say, this is a great act of ibadah? For every limb that I'm washing, there are sins that are dropping off. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will recognize us on the day of Qiyamah by the luminance from those limbs which are washed in wudu. Now if you have that cognizance in you at the time of making wudu, then there'll be a different enjoyment. There'll be a different spirituality in your wudu. Now when you come for salah, you'll be more focused. You know, they say, don't tick the box. Don't just do it because it needs to be done. That's what we mean when we say that, do things wholeheartedly. If you do things wholeheartedly, that's the second step to becoming a better Muslim. When you're performing your salah, no, I got to read Fajr, I got to read Zuhar, I got to read Asr, I'm just ticking off the box. No, tick off the box of your heart. I mean, think of the dua that we read before salah. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifa. I don't have the time to unpack the deeper meanings of this ayah. Check it for yourself from the authentic books. But you're saying, oh Allah, I am bringing all of my scattered thoughts into one. I am focusing only, totally, wholly and exclusively on you. قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ. That's what it means to do things wholeheartedly. And these are gems from the pearls of the wisdoms of the scholars that is relevant to us any time of the year, but more so now before Ramadan. Start putting effort in your salah, improving the quality of your salah. When you do the takbir at-tahreema, Allahu Akbar. What are we saying? We are entering into dialogue with who? Be wholeheartedly. When the imam starts, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, who is being praised? Be there with your body, with your heart, with your mind, and with your soul. The third step towards becoming a better Muslim is Rada. Accepting your destiny, being happy with the decree of Allah, being content with your lot in life. One of the greatest tragedies of our time is to see a person who's really blessed, but he feels others are blessed. You see a person who's really blessed, but he feels others are blessed. Look, no one's life is going to be smooth sailing. And no human, not even Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, got everything that they desired in life. There'll be ups, there'll be downs. You'll get, you won't get. You'll get, it will be taken. It will be taken, it will be given. If you can't understand the wisdom, say, I can't understand the wisdom behind what is happening, but I know my Allah only intends good for me. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you dislike something. Each one of you here, at least one experience we must have had in life, when you thought this is a negative and it turned out to be a positive. You thought it was a negative, it turned out to be a positive. The only way you can achieve contentment in life is by being happy with the decree and accepting your fate and your lot in life. It will turn the bitter into sweet. It will turn anger into happiness. The only time you will enjoy the sweetness of Iman is if you become totally submissive to the decree of Allah. Submission before the decree of Allah doesn't mean you don't make an effort. You don't take an opportunity. You don't try and improve things. You don't take precaution. You do all of that. But results are never in our control. If results were in our control, Nuh alayhi salam would have given iman to his son. Ibrahim alayhi salam would have given iman to his father. Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam would have given iman to Abu Talib. They were prophets who preached for hundreds of years and only had a minimal amount of followers. Effort is in our control. Results is always in the control of Allah. So whatever Allah decrees, you work harder, you make less. That man came yesterday from India, he's a multimillionaire. Be content with your lot. Don't start casting aspersions on how he made his money, as if you never did Uplang business your whole life. And as if your grandfather or great-grandfather didn't come from India. Be content with what Allah has given you. You know, psychologically even they say today, that the immune system works better when you don't have a choice. Having too many options in life makes life complicated. Sometimes Allah makes the decision for you. Accept it as your faith. I'll conclude this point with this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Laysa al-ghina an kathratil arad." Enrichment is not to have many possessions. وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. Enrichment is when your heart is content, when your soul is satisfied. Live your life with this motto, that no matter what Allah decrees for me, as long as Allah is happy with me, I am happy and I will remain happy. The greatest recipe to secure happiness in life is to make Allah happy. So be happy with the decree of Allah. That's why Allah talks about Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is happy with them. They were happy with Allah even when they had 3 stones tied around their bellies. They were happy with Allah even when Umar bin Khattab had 16 patches on his clothes. They were happy with Allah when they didn't even have enough cloth to cover the body fully for the Salah of Jumu'ah. But they were happy with the decree of Allah. So be happy with your lot in life. That's the third step towards becoming a better Muslim. The fourth step, patience, sabr. Sabr doesn't mean that you can't express emotions. It means you must control your thoughts and control your tongue. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's only son passed away, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was crying. He said, the tears are flowing, Ibrahim. The heart is quaking. But we will never say anything that is displeasing to Allah. That's the meaning of sabr. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam understood, إِنَّ عِظَمِ الْبَلَاءِ مَا عِظَمِ الْجَزَاءِ إِنَّ عِظَمِ الْجَزَاءِ مَا عِظَمِ الْبَلَاءِ. That the greater the test, the greater reward. Allah tells us in the Quran, everyone will be tested. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Some people will be tested in their health. Some people will be tested in their wealth. Some people, it will be someone close to you loses their lives. Some people, it will be fear. It will be anxiety. It will be mental turmoil. It will be emotional difficulty. But Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to those who are patient. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ is not only when you hear a mayyit announcement. Anything goes wrong in your life, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. We belong to Allah. Whatever Allah decides, we will bear it patiently. We have no right to complain. And it's not only major setbacks. The hadith tells us, even minor setbacks, any fatigue, any worry, any grief, any injury, any anxiety, any thorn that pricks you, you drop a glass and it breaks, you say, Inna lillah, Allah rewards you and counts you amongst the patient ones. Ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbihim wa rahma. Allah then confers you with His blessings and His mercies. So you have to have patience if you want to become a better Muslim. Life will never ever be hunky-dory for anyone. You will have to go through those paces. Yes, of course, you continue to make dua to Allah to uplift the difficulty. You always ask Allah for ease. Salillah al-afiyah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, always ask Allah for ease, because you don't show bravery in front of Allah. You don't show bravery. You exhibit your weakness. The fifth step out of 7 towards becoming a better Muslim is the main one. Amal. Action. Action. I spoke about it the other night as well on 15 Sha'ban. Enough of the talks and the discourses and the lectures and the programs. It's time to walk the talk. We need to know our days are numbered. We need to know you have only one shot at life. Only one. The greatest wake-up call we got was this last year. Allah has shown us how fragile life is. Allah has shown us how insignificant we are. You know, somebody said so beautifully, it's not that life is short, it's that it takes us so long to realize how important life is and how we should be living our lives. Turn your hopes into good deeds before the day that you will regret that I didn't do enough. You know, even the shuhada, even the martyrs, they will desire to come back to the world to be martyred again. But they won't get that. That desire will remain unfulfilled. It is mentioned in one hadith, in Jannah, you'll be granted everything you want except the one thing. Even the Jannatis will say that, oh Allah, let us go back and do more good deeds so we can earn more reward. Only one shot in life. Kalla, there's no return. So it's time now for action. This is the season of change. I'll give you one tip quickly as we're passing. You want to bring action into your life. Develop your routine around Salah. Don't try and find space for Salah in a routine which is already structured. Structure your entire day around Salah. It will bring great barakah in your life and it will help you to manage your time. And if you can perform salah as it ought to be performed, then Allah says, إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. Salah will protect you from every evil and every vice. Be careful about those things that waste time, especially the mobile and social media, every day of your lives, but more so as we're going into the great month of Ramadan. So that's the fifth point, action, in terms of becoming a better Muslim. The sixth, wafa, fulfilling your pledge with Allah. The Quran tells us we all made a promise to Allah. Allah said, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? We all said, Allah, we are, you are. We are committed. Now what does it mean to be committed? I read a very beautiful explanation the other day about what it means to be a slave of Allah. When we think of the word slave in English, you think of Africans in chains being shipped off to the Americas. But the word abd in Arabic has a very beautiful meaning. It means you liberate yourself from everything and everyone, and you totally enslave yourself to Allah. Then and then only are you truly liberated. Until and unless you don't become a slave of Allah, you'll be a slave of your career, of your spouse, of your friends, of your hobby, of everything and anything. But when you totally enslave yourself to Allah, that is the only time you liberate yourself from everything and everyone else. You see, the richest of people, they are slaves to their jobs and to their routines. They can't get out of it. They're stuck in a rut. And then you see a pauper who's totally content with life because he has enslaved himself only to Allah. When we fear Allah, we must fear Allah out of love and reverence. The word that Allah uses in the Quran is khashya. Khawf is when you fear something bad. Khashya means you fear someone out of love and reverence because you don't want to disappoint them. Like a son fears the father, not because the father will do something bad to the son, but the son fears disappointing the father. That's why Allah says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. If you fear the embarrassment of having to stand before Allah, knowing what Allah did for you and how little you did in return, if you can inculcate then consciousness in you, for you is double the reward. For you is double the reward. So fulfill your pledge with Allah. Have expectations in Allah alone. Don't have expectations in human beings. That's the greatest cause of disappointment, resentment, and hatred. Father becomes vengeful towards his own son because he had expectations and the son did not fulfill those expectations. So part of fulfilling the pledge with Allah is that have expectations in Allah alone. Live your life in such a way. Somebody so beautifully asked Ibn Mas'ud that if today was the last day of your life, how would you spend it? He said, no different to yesterday or the day before, because I approach every day of my life as if it is the last day of my life. Make tawbah, like we spoke the other night. Allah is waiting to forgive us. You will have to give up sin. The greatest stepping stone towards fulfilling our pledge with Allah is to give up sin. It will break your heart. But Allah says, I frequent those hearts that were broken to secure my pleasure. أَنَا عِنْدَ الْمُنْكَسِرَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Give up this life of sin before Ramadan so your heart is pure and more receptive to Allah. Make dhikr, make muraqabah, contemplate on the greatness of Allah. And the most important thing, two things I'll mention. Make dua, because that's direct communication with Allah. And establish a holistic relationship with the Quran. Because the hadith says, إِنَّكُمْ لَا تَرْجِعُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِشَيْءٍ أَفْضَلَ مِمَّا خَرَجَ مِنْ. Nothing can bring you closer to Allah more quickly and more effectively than the Quran can. You will notice, all my suggestions are bringing us back to the basics. Get your salah in order. Reactivate dua. Re-establish a holistic relationship with the Quran, where you read and you listen to recitation and you explore the meaning from authentic scholars and sources. It's in the basics that you will find the secret to becoming a better Muslim. So that's the sixth. The seventh and the final one. Have gratitude. Have gratitude. You will not be able to become a better Muslim if we remain as ungrateful as we are. Whatever the situation, someone is worse off than you. I always give this example. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Ali says, I came to the masjid to complain to Allah because I didn't have shoes. As I was walking in, a man without legs was stumbling out. Then I said, I have no right to complain, Allah. I have no right to complain. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us, look at those who have less in terms of material things. It will create gratitude. And in terms of spiritual affairs, look at those who are doing more. It will create an inclination for the after. We are always looking at those who have more. It's not even real sometimes. We just assume that the grass is green on the other side. We just assume that the grass is green on the other side. Somebody so beautifully said, they said, have eyes of shukr. Have eyes that count your blessings. Go home and say, what a beautiful, wonderful wife I have. What lovely children I have. I'm so fortunate people are living in shacks here on my doorstep. And I've got a roof. I've got a roof. I don't have to worry whether there's going to be food in the house for the next meal. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbi, mu'afan fi jasadi, indahu qutu yawmi." If you wake up in the morning and you have shelter, you have just enough food for one meal, and you just have one pair of clothes to cover your back, then consider yourself more fortunate than anyone else in the world. We have no right to complain. We have no right to be ungrateful. Allah has given us tremendously. And the more you show gratitude, the more Allah will increase. Let me recap as I conclude. It's time for us to become better Muslims. And I have given you a 7-point plan. The first is ithar. Become selfless. Give preference to the pleasure of Allah over your own desires. Give preference to other human beings over your own comfort. The second is iqbal. Come forward wholeheartedly. Whether it's wudu, whether it's salah, any aspect of deen, do it wholeheartedly. Even if it's the 20 rakats of Taraweeh. The third is rada. Be happy with what Allah has decreed for you in life. Yes, you make an effort, you take precaution, you seek improvement, but Allah knows best what is good for me in this world as well as in the after. That's the only thing that will give you contentment. The fourth thing, you will be tested in some way or the other. Have patience. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah gives glad tidings to those who are patient. The fifth, stop talking now and start walking the talk. Action. You have to be an action-orientated Muslim to become a better Muslim. The time is now. You only have one shot in life. Allah alone knows so many people who were with us last year this time, they're no longer with us. They were healthier, they were younger, they were wealthier, but they're no longer here with us. Every second that passes in your life is a second that's passing away. The sixth thing is fulfill your covenant with Allah. Fulfill your covenant with Allah. Allah is saying, يَبْنَ آدَمْ خَلَقْتُكَ لِعِبَادَتِي فَلَا تَلْعَبْ. O son of Adam, I created you to worship me. For how much longer are you going to play around? For how much longer are you going to mess around? How much longer am I waiting? I'm waiting. Don't let it be that you see Malakul Maut. Then even if you want to come, it will be too late to come. And the seventh thing is, have gratitude. Have gratitude. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the understanding. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. That's a 7-point plan. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq of making amal. Two quick announcements, brothers. You may have seen on the notice board, alhamdulillah, we're upgrading and improving the ladies' salah facilities. We don't want you to contribute. We want you to get your women folk to contribute. Because you guys are smart businessmen. If you're giving an X amount to the masjid, you'll give it for the ladies' salah facilities, then Ramadan time, you say, I gave already. Now, you know, we have multiple needs, so we also have to start thinking like you, as business people. That project is not a big amount. We're asking you, go home. All the details are there. Ask your wife and your daughters and all the women folk in the community and locality that the travelers who pass by here, their women folk perform salah, you'll get the reward in perpetuity. If each one contributes, if every lady in every home in this community congregates 100 rand, we're there, inshallah. We're there, inshallah. So we don't want it from you. That you reserve here. We have other needs for that. And in that regard, when you go out, there'll be collection after Jummah. Now we've got a snap scan code. Right, so if you prefer that, because you'll get e-bucks for 3 transactions a month, snap scanning, then that facility is available. And if you want credit card also, there's a credit card facility available. So the only thing that's not available is an excuse not to give. So let's all make intention, inshallah. The first step before these 7 to become a better Muslim, contribute before you leave this afternoon. Shukran.